Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understand that millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this beautiful Tuesday around the country. Hope everybody's doing okay. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. As Tony Soprano would say, we got a little bit of this, and we got a little bit of that. And we got a little bit of everything today. We're literally, a little bit of everything. We have Baylor, it's on Baylor with their head coach, Scott Drew.
That's right.
Number one team in the country.
And they've been there for a minute, which is not necessarily the case all season.
Yeah.
Guys been bouncing around. I think it's been 3 weeks. They haven't lost yet.
It's been stable. There was incredible volatility the first month and a half of the season. Basically, it's you get pegged number one. It's a foreshadow of getting of losing the next game. So we got the Baylor Bears who are flowing. They're 21-1. We've got their head coach. We've got a little Phillip Rivers. We're going to really get into I mentioned it on the show yesterday. I didn't expand on it. Just told you what the article contained and what baseball's thinking about. And in terms of really, I mean, talk about a radical switch and flip and overhaul.
I love it.
I don't mind it either. But there are a few things to dissect, which we'll certainly do a little later. And how about this? Miles Garrett. It looks as if Miles Garrett, this was a huge story.
Yeah.
This was a
huge story. At the time, it was an enormous story.
Huge story for us. I mean, weeks we talked about this.
Right.
And for those who missed it, Miles Garrett has met with the NFL. The reports are that Commissioner Goodell was there. The reports are that he will be free to play beginning in week one. And we could get into the particulars. But your first reaction to that here, Teak?
So, I mean, when this first went down, you knew that there was going to be a significant suspension. It wasn't going to be a game or two for whacking Rudolph across the head with his own helmet after that altercation at the end of a game that really meant nothing. You know what I mean? The game was over. The Cleveland Browns had dominated, and they get into a fight, a scuffle, like pushes into the end zone. Next thing you know, linemen are on the ground tussling each other. Right. Rudolph is trying to get back up. He gets in his face, kicks him in the groin, probably unintentionally, which might have set him off. And he rips his helmet off, which is one thing. I get that. That happens. You see this happen all the time. Offensive linemen grab each other's helmets, and one just rips it off. Mm-hmm. Then you just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Garrett swung it at him and crushed him across the head.
He likes the game whack-a-mole. He likes going on the boardwalk.
Exactly, which could have killed him.
True.
Not really, but you know what I mean.
It actually could have.
If he would have hit him in the right spot, it probably could have.
Yeah.
He was lucky, and we talked about this at the time, both were lucky. Garrett was lucky because of how he swung it, and Rudolph was lucky because how he got hit. He got hit with the ear pad side of it, which is like flexible, like it moves, as opposed to the crown of the helmet, which is extraordinarily.
It's like a brick.
Exactly. I mean, that would have at least knocked him unconscious.
Yep.
Rudolph didn't even flinch, really. He just kind of like, oh, that hurt, and then he started screaming again. Now, he got the rest of the game suspended, rest of his season suspended, which amounted to, I looked up the fine because it was a big number.
About a third of his salary.
It was more than a third.
He got fined $1.15 million. His salary was about
$1.139 million.
And his salary was about $3
million. Yeah, exactly.
Plus the $45,000 fine to start.
So, it was an enormous fine because he's not making $15 million a year for a premier defensive rush in the National Football League. He's still on his rookie contract, so he's only making just about $3 million a year. So basically half your salary for a fine is, I think, punitive enough. I think why I'm okay, BT, with him being reinstated, is this is presumably what's going to happen, is Miles Garrett's not a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're talking about Vontaze Burfict, who has done this repeatedly. Now, with that being said, Miles Garrett actually did have a fine about 2 weeks prior against.
I think he had three on the season.
He had three on the season, but there was one 2 weeks earlier where he knocked out Trevor Siemian.
Siemian was the Monday night game against
the Monday night game against
the
Jets. Exactly. So he got fined for that one as well. But again, I don't look at him as a dirty player.
Do we need to start?
Probably not, but I think we'll determine from here what he wants to be, like who he is. Like, I think Vontaze Burfict intentionally liked being a dirty player. I don't think Myles Garrett is intentionally a dirty player. I think he went after Mason Rudolph because there was some emotional snap that happened. But you don't see that on a regular basis. So I'm okay with this.
So am I. I mean, listen, and by the way, even if he was making $20 million a year, which he eventually will because he's one of the preeminent defensive ends in football, you know, you get banged out over $1 million in fines, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it might equate to 1/20th versus 1/3, but it's still a lot of money.
Well, no, it would have been significantly more because he's basically fined.
Oh, that's true.
Because
that's
he's
true.
Suspended.
That's true.
So you don't get paid your salary.
That's true.
So it would have
that's
been
true.
The same relative amount of money.
Which that's true.
But would have been a
so
lot more.
So it would
more.
Have been about $7 million, roughly 1/3.
That's right.
If he was making $20 million. Was making the 20. I mean, listen, my general policy when these situations arise, now that was unique. That was 1970s-ish barbaric. I mean, that was, that was
probably even worse.
That was kind of off the radar of what we're accustomed to in the year 2020, no doubt.
I can't think of another incident that was like it. Meaning not in game. Like the Vontaze Burfict stuff. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this one many times with Antonio Brown. That just was vicious and seemed unnecessary.
Yep.
Even the one, who did Vontaze Burfict ultimately get suspended by? Because he hit a tight end, a defenseless tight end. I'm forgetting now.
It wasn't Goddard, was it?
No, I don't think it was. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah,
but that one looked vicious.
Yep.
But it was in the course of play. Very rarely you're going to find Doyle. Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
Very rarely are you going to find like a fight that looks vicious
in the NFL.
In the NFL.
Yeah.
Because guys, I mean, they'll push and they'll shove and they'll maybe throw some punches.
Mm-hmm.
But it's they're not really throwing punches. You know what I mean?
No.
So this one was vicious. This is probably the worst you ever see.
I do think that some people subscribe to this and it's certainly their right. I would respectfully disagree, but. You know, if we were to get, we're not going to take calls because we have Coach Drew coming up from Baylor next segment here. But certainly want to get your tweets at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. It was a big story, and it looks as if, you know, we're going to get some resolution here soon, as we stated at the outset of the segment. But there will be some people who say you could have killed him. But you didn't.
He did.
But you didn't.
You're right.
I mean,
and I don't think he was trying to.
I don't think he was trying to kill either.
I'm trying to kill you. I'm going to swing you. It was an emotional reaction. And honestly, I think at the time, I was like, did he even realize he had a helmet still in his hand? You know, because usually you pull somebody's helmet off, you just let it go.
Let me ask you this, though. You don't think about it. I'm going to give you an example. Not that I believe him, to be fair. When Roger Clemens fired the bat at Mike Piazza,
that's right.
Roger Clemens said, I was so incensed, I didn't realize what I was doing. Is there any chance that applies to Myles Garrett?
Of course it does.
Okay.
I mean, the intensity of a fighting moment like that, you don't think. I mean, I remember, because I've talked to Roger about this multiple times. Like, why would you throw a bat at a guy? He's like, I didn't think.
He said he thought it was the ball.
He thought it was the ball.
Which was complete nonsense.
But he wasn't thinking. But still.
I never believed Roger on that.
I mean, that was like rage.
I actually had Piazza's back on that.
That was like rage.
Yeah, it was.
Serious rage.
Well, I think it was steroid rage.
Maybe, that's
what I've always said.
But who's been
lost his mind.
I've never been in that type of situation.
You were short at him. It was basically a jagged javelin.
I've never been in that situation where I've been so enraged that I forget what I'm doing. I can't think of it ever being. I mean, as an
thank
athlete,
God. Same here. Yeah, no,
like
thank God.
On the athletic field,
yeah.
I can't think of that ever being the case.
But rationality is gone.
Yeah, but I can't discount the fact that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know it's an emotional game, and especially if you're heightened because you're fighting. You know what I mean? Or you're in some sort of altercation with someone else. So. How would I chalk it up if this was in a court of law? This was temporary insanity.
Temporary
insanity. Because I don't think Myles Garrett's a bad guy. There's no indication from anything I've ever, you know, read about him or seen about him that he is just not a liked or a good guy.
I don't disagree. It's also early in his career, relatively early.
It's only his third year.
So he's still shaping and identifying who he truly is. Now, away from the facility, away from the field, he's incredibly charitable. He's really viewed as a good person. And that's important when you weigh this. And I'm sure that that's going to weigh heavily on the decision from Goodell. My general policy, as I started to state before, if you're a good person who makes a bad decision or mm-hmm. has a bad moment, I'm certainly far more willing to grant you the latitude to color outside the lines in that moment and embrace you back. Okay. Yep. That's why, and I know that some people really have an issue when I do this, but that's tough. Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. I just view him totally differently, and I don't need to go down the whole AB path now, but my, you know, the synopsis here is I don't think he's a good person. I don't think he's a good person. I don't think he adds anything to society, and I am not, matter of fact, I believe he detracts from society at this point, so I'm not in the business of giving out, you know, second, third, fourth mulligans to somebody that I don't believe in. I believe in Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
I truly now.
Yeah.
But you could raise the question if he lost his mind, cool. temporary insanity yeah. for a moment. How do we know it doesn't happen again?
That's what you have to just wait.
Because there's how many other guys in the NFL?
A lot. 1600.
They don't lose their mind temporarily quite
True.
Like that.
True. True. And they get in similar situations.
That's my point. I
think he served his penance.
I do too. 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
The moment this happened, what was it? November 14th, I believe, was the date. Didn't play a single down the rest of the way.
Yep, which was punitive to his team, by the way.
I was just going to say, who knows? Maybe it buried them in the wild card. Now they were a colossal underachieving group, and Freddie mm-hmm. Kitchens was a disaster as a head coach, and Baker Mayfield was awful as a quarterback. We know that this year. And OBJ wasn't healthy. Jarvis Landry wasn't fully healthy. Their offensive line wasn't very good. There was some drop-off in guys you expected to play better. And Njoku got hurt, blah, blah, blah. So maybe they really just – maybe they just weren't destined to be anything more than 6-10.
Yeah.
Maybe. But without Myles Garrett, you really have very little chance to get past 6-10. I'm with you. Let him play in week 1. Bygones be bygones. Now, does he apologize to Mason Rudolph?
Probably he should.
There was the whole element of what he said, Rudolph said, about a racial epithet. I don't know if that – no, there's cameras and there's audio everywhere. Nobody captured that.
Nope.
Nor did anybody corroborate that on either side.
That's right. And
so that's important stuff.
And it kind of went away.
It did kind of dissipate.
We stopped talking about it really quickly.
Yep. All right. So if you disagree, and I'm sure there will be a few dissenting opinions on that, because Teak and I are in full agreement, it's time for Let Myles Garrett Play Football Again. Again, get us on Twitter at Teaky and Tierney, at Teaky Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, the Bears, let's face it, who had him number one?
Not me.
Who had him number one? And does that number one ranking, will that translate to a championship? Their head coach, Scott Drew, who's doing a great job, went there under dire circumstances, has been there for a while, and is a damn good coach. Give a little love to the Baylor Bears coming up next. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
It's O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O Rewards member yet? Head to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store to sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. Also, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and 2 Brake Best rotors. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So stop in today or visit online and rack up double O Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Teaky and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to GEICO.com. Easy. All right, next segment, by the way, Philip Rivers, he is done with the Chargers. What is next for what I believe, and I think many do, Teak, I don't think you disagree, future Hall of Famer.
Yep, I do.
Philip Rivers, where can he go? Also, baseball, the radical proposition that Joel Sherman had yesterday at the end of our show, which you and I will dive deeply into. So, got a lot of very eclectic show as we get into some college hoops now. I'll tell you what, there was a point. Nobody wanted this job. It was in a bad space for sure. And this man's done a great job. Had him number one a couple of years back. I believe that would have been 2016-2017 season. Scott Drew, the head coach of the Baylor Bears. And, I mean, where their season started, by the way, they lost, I think it was their second game of the season, and they've only ripped off about 21 in a row. Coach, welcome to the show. How you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
Well, thanks for having me on. T-squared, I like it.
You know how it is. You know how we roll here, Coach.
Yeah, and you asked about that loss. We just wanted to get it out of the way early.
Understood. Yeah, no, I know. Listen, hey, keep everybody guessing. Who is Baylor? What are they all about this year? And then obviously surprise everybody. But, you know, Teak and I talked about the early volatility. It's every week, you know, a team would seemingly every week would elevate to the top spot. And it felt like a good 5, 6, 7 weeks in a row or something like that, that team would lose the next game they played. Any reluctance to actually be number one? Are you worried about this?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That first week, we did have some questions, but I will tell you that's the great thing about college basketball. I think at the beginning of the year, everybody said it. There's no dominant team. There's parity. And you think about it, with the one and dones, with about 50% transfer rate, I mean, it's like reshuffling the deck of cards every year. And so with that's what makes it exciting. You turn on the college scoreboard every night, you don't know who's going to win, but I tell you, there's going to be upsets. And we've been extremely blessed now to be, 4 weeks number one. And I think a big part of that is we've been number one a couple years ago when we understood this time we weren't going to allow distractions to get to us. We're going to do a much better job controlling what we could control, be focused, and concentrate on giving our best for each and every opponent. And when you have upperclassmen, you have good leadership, you have high-character kids, it's easier to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, and you have been doing it, and it shows up on the defensive end. I mean, about a week ago against Oklahoma State, you had an issue. Defense snapped in. The same thing with Texas. It was a low-scoring game. What's been the most, critical part of keeping everybody defensively focused in when the shooting kind of lets itself down? Because I think that's important, especially when you get to the next part of the season.
Well, first of all, shooting can come and go.
Yep.
And that's why your defense has to always be there. And with us, why we've been successful is we have a team that's bought into that. And then we have a couple of elite defenders. Mark Vidal and Davion Mitchell were on the top 15 all midseason defensive team. And to be honest, we felt like there could be one or two others added to that list. So we really got a group that buys in on the defensive end. And the key to that is making sure your offense, and you miss a shot, you miss a free throw, that doesn't matter. We do what we do on the defensive end. Doesn't guarantee you're always going to be successful, but gives you a much better chance.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, listen, you know, sometimes you're going to go, I don't care who you are, you're going to go 2 for 16 from behind the arc. But if you D it up, as Deke knows, with
my
Virginia.
My alma mater, Virginia, last year.
Yeah.
They couldn't race to 60, but, hey, we're going to keep it from scoring, right?
Defense travels, speed travels. Go ahead, Coach.
Hey, by the way, Tony Bennett is one of my best friends. Our families go way back, and I was so happy to see him win it all last year. Now, I was disappointed because it's Big 12 team, so you always got to cheer for Big 12. But I can tell you, Tony Bennett's a class act, and what they achieved last year was miraculous.
He's one of the best. We've had him on the show a few times. We're talking to Scott Drew, number one Baylor, the Baylor Bears. Hey, by the way, now you got that pesky Matt Rule off campus. You can go back to being the big man.
Right? I tell you what, Coach Rule was a joy. I tell you, he wasn't here long, but he did an unbelievable job. And
he did.
I know we're going to be cheering for the Panthers, and I know he's going to be really successful wherever he goes because of the work and just how he treats people, and anybody that grinds that hard and does it the right way, good things are going to happen.
He's a special one. You know, listen, the old expression, if you look in the rear view too often, you're going to smack into something in front of you. So I understand the path is linear, and you're looking ahead, and, you know, you have goals this year. You want to cut down nets.
That's spoken like a coach. Keep going.
Hey, man, listen, I could coach. I would have been a great – I actually would have been a good coach. Hey, by the way, Scott, if I was coaching, I would have been picking you up 94 feet. I would have been pressing, trapping, turning you over. Everybody's playing 10-man rotation, 3-point, let it go. Maybe cheat a little bit to get the best players if I had to.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Scott, let me.
I want to play cards with this guy. He tells you exactly what he thinks.
Yeah. I'm fun to hang out with, trust me. So let me ask you this, Scott. As much as you've changed the entire perception long ago, admittedly, of Baylor basketball, can you give our younger audience, and even for me and Tika, a bit of a refresher course? I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Just how dire and how seemingly hopeless the program felt in the early 2000s when you took over. Because to get to this point, it's miraculous.
Well, I tell you, if anyone ever gets limited to a half a season and isn't able to play a non-conference, we are the only school that you can come to for advice. So that, and I can tell you, when you go into a game and half your team is walk-ons, and it was a walk-on dream, by the way, because not only could you walk on, but you actually got to play too. So it was a pretty good deal for students. But to see how far the program's come, and the great thing is, everyone that was in those early years, they laid the foundation to get us back to where Baylor basketball is today. And in the past, I mean, we've had great players from Vinny Johnson, Terry Teagle, Brian Skinner. I mean, there's been players in the past, but at the same time, what has excited me the most is the consistency in which our guys have done a great job. And you look at since in the last 12 years, for instance, there's only six schools that have won 18 or more in the Power Five, and it's the Blue Bloods, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and then two Green Bloods, Michigan State and Baylor. And nice. For 12 straight years to win 18 or more.
Love that.
And that goes into our past players that from Epe Udo was drafted six. We've had a number of guys drafted to them coming back each and every summer and helping our young guys out and just seeing how invested they are in the program. That's really exciting, kind of like a proud parent.
Talking to Scott Drew, head coach of Baylor, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Coach, this is your 17th season there, and it's such a long time. In 2003, when you started, and BT was mentioning, and you were just detailing that evolution, and you finally make the tournament in 2007. You get there 3 years out of the next four or five, and then you go to the NIT. And it's one thing to start, like, achieving and getting to the NCAA tournament, winning a couple of games. You went to the Elite Eight back in 2012. But then to get, like, fall back, I should say. I'm asking this question. You fall back to the NIT, and some teams would say to themselves, we don't belong here. Like, what are we doing here? We should be in the NCAA tournament. But you won it, right? You went to the NIT and won it. And so that tells me a lot about you and the command that you have as a leader of your team. How important is it? Especially from where Baylor came from, to be able to teach that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think in 2010, we lost in the Elite Eight to Duke. They ended up winning it all.
Yep.
I thought that year there's a chance we could have won a national championship. In 2012, we lost to Kentucky in the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. They were, I think they had six pros. We had five. They had Anthony Davis. He counts as two. I mean, they were the best team in the country. But I thought we had a chance that year as well. And then in 2016, we go to the Elite Eight. We were number one in, as you said, 2016, 2017. 2014, we went to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
2018, we went to the Sweet 16. We were ranked number one. We lost to South Carolina. They went to the Final Four. In 2016, we lost to Wisconsin. They went to the Final Four. So we've been knocking. And I know eventually we're going to get there. Hopefully I'm able to be there with them. The second thing is, with the NIT, we've gone to a championship game in the NIT, and then we've won it all. And the NIT is unbelievable for people that young kids that have a chance to go to a Final Four in New York, Madison Square Garden, the way they do that tournament, unbelievable experience. And I know the team that won it all in 2013, they will never forget that. We're the first Big 12 team to win the NIT.
I didn't even realize that.
I'm happy for them. Yeah, cutting down the nets in Madison Square Garden.
It's the best,
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So, except I guess a national championship.
That's true.
I'd prepare them if we could ever have that happen. You know, I'll ask Tony about that. But I know, again, just blessed to have great guys that have come in and put the team first. And because of that, we've had a lot of players that have had a lot of success. Royce O'Neal got a great extension this year. Torian Prince got a great extension this year. A lot of people doing well in the league.
They got to make sure they give back some money, man. Make sure that, I know you guys got nice facilities, but got to keep them nice.
That's coming at some point.
I know that some of the administration, because they did this when we had Coach Rule on, and listen, this is the way it is. They know their coach is coming on. They'll flip us on. If they aren't already watching, they'll get a sense of what's said. And I certainly don't want to offend anybody or make anybody sweat, I think is the better way to phrase it. But I'm sincerely curious, because your record now suggests that you will have ample opportunities. Only 1 year at Valpo, if I'm not mistaken. I think the 1 year at Valpo, is that right? 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All these years at Baylor, you know, lifting it from the ashes to number one. You know, do you ever get the itch, whether it's another college, a different blue blood, not a green blood, the NBA? is Scott Drew, you know, at Baylor for life? I mean, do you get that sense in your mind when you compartmentalize that stuff? As I know you have to, because you're a human being.
Mm-hmm. Well, I came to Baylor because I prayed about it, felt led, God wanted me here, and when he wants to move me, I will go. So until then, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing here and keep building Baylor basketball to where I just saw someone had tweeted out the last time a school in Texas had been ranked number one this long was 1968, and that's, what, 52 years or something. So, I mean, to see the excitement people have for Baylor basketball and to see how people view it. As a parent, at Christmas time, you want all your kids happy, and to see our past players and our current players just being proud of what they're doing and what they've helped build gives you a lot of success. And that gives you a lot of joy in the success that they've had. That's what makes coaching what it's about today.
I love it. I mean, even if I wanted to follow up on that, I can't. I mean, you get your advice from God. Who the heck am I to even have a follow-up question? I'm not going to. But I will ask you a final thing, Teague. I don't know if you have something else. But last thing for me here, Coach. It has been a wacky season, and not just the volatility of the top spot. San Diego State's top five. Rutgers, not ranked, but has had a real renaissance season. Seton Hall is top 10. Dayton has a lottery player. They're number five or six in the country, whatever it is. As the head coach of a team that has a chance to win it all, do you – I would imagine that this craziness is less appealing than having a consistent – even if there's all blue bloods up there, top 25, because this just seems highly unpredictable. And as a coach, that would worry me. Does that concern you differently than years past?
This is the new college basketball. And what I mean by that is, even if you look at we just played Shaka. And remember when you went to the Final Four?
Yeah, it was there.
And they were a play-in team, and then they have a chance to win a national championship. And you say, well, wait a minute, how does a team that's, what, 64-68, how are they competing for a national championship? I'm telling you, this isn't the best 4 out of 7. The best teams don't always win, mm-hmm. but the team that shows up that night, and that's why college basketball, it is, if you don't have the right foundation as a coach or player, it's tough because there's going to be great successes. There's going to be great adversity. And the problem is young kids nowadays have to deal with it all because it's right there on their phone.
That's true.
Jeff Goodman wrote an article the other day. One of our players, Macy O'Teague, we win at Kansas State, and he's shooting two free throws at the end of the game, misses them, and he's getting off the bus, and he shows me his phone, and he's got people that are cursing him out because they lost $100 or $1,000 because they bet on the game. He didn't cover the spread. And I felt bad for him.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine
yeah.
if that's your son and he's getting cursed out because somebody lost money that he doesn't know. And you're like, kids have to deal with these things nowadays.
Know.
You know, I mean,
it's terrible.
You lose a game and maybe talk radio, talk bad about you, maybe the newspaper. But you know what? 17, 18, 19-year-olds probably not reading the newspaper, probably not listening to talk radio. Never affected them.
No.
Now it's all on their phone. So that's why the mental health issues have become so prominent now in college athletics and in pro athletics, because and hopefully we can, as a society, address some of that, because you feel for them and you never want your son or daughter to go through any of that.
Yeah, no, amen. And it helps when you have – exactly, amen is right. It helps when you have a coach like you, Scott, who can direct them the right way. Last question for you. Right before the Texas game –
I gave him all Tiki's numbers.
Exactly. I'll take them. I ignore my mentions 100% completely, so send them my way, Coach. Right before Texas, the NCAA committee does that little sneak peek at the top, you know, few teams in the NCAA. You guys were not only a number one, you were number one overall. You guys have mostly went through the Big 12 with success. You've won every one of them. You have West Virginia coming up, which is they're 14th right now. Kansas a few weeks from now. But how are you going to keep your guys focused? Because, I mean, we talk about this expectation. We led with it. You've been number one for 3 weeks in a row, which is something nobody else could do. How are you talking to the guys right now going into this big matchup on Saturday against West Virginia?
First and foremost, the good thing about we have a lot of returning players, or at least people that have been in the Big 12 wars, and they understand that each and every night it doesn't matter what someone's ranked, what someone's conference record is. In the last 6 years, the Big 12 has been the number one ranked conference by using the RPI. Now, I know that's becoming a thing of the past, but still, to think about it, if you've had the top-ranked conference 6 years in a row, that should hopefully teach you something, and that is it's never because of one, two, or three teams. It's because of 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We don't have a bad team, and there is no off night. So if you don't bring it each and every night, you're getting an L.
Yep.
And so the best thing for us is when you're playing a great competition each and every night, you know you have to be at your best. And one thing is when you're ranked number one, you are not getting somebody's C game. You're not getting their B game.
No.
You're not getting their A-minus game. You are getting their A game, so you better be on.
And so far, you've been on. Since that second game, when you let, of course, you let them win just to keep everybody guessing.
We were number one at that time.
Hey, you were all the way out in the Pacific Northwest, Washington. Yeah, you know it. Well, yeah, we don't want to
leave. Travel,
leave this
one out
actually,
there.
Actually, that was
that was neutral.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That was one of the best college experiences. That was on J-Bear Army base. It was
That's
ESPN's
right.
Armed Forces game.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I tell you, our players, we were able to sit with soldiers, give them clinics, learn from them, and see how they train. And for those 2 days with them, I mean, that was a life-changing experience for a lot of our young people. And I tell you what, when every game starts with the national anthem, I think it's a different meaning after spending time on an Army base and seeing what they sacrifice for us.
It's yeah, awesome. By the way, Coach, an Army base in Alaska.
we were indoors most of the time, by the way.
It was still a hike.
Hey, anything with the military is great with this show.
Yeah, man.
Coach, number one of the nation, 22-1. We'll be watching, brother. Great chat. Thanks for stopping by, Coach.
Appreciate you, T-Squared. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you later.
Thank you, Coach. Good
Scott's
luck.
That's awesome. Scott Drew done a phenomenal job for a long time there. All right, Phillip Rivers done with the Bolts. But is he really, truly an all-time great? We'll dissect it after Axe Update, which is right now. Okay, we're going to get to Phillip Rivers here in a sec on Tiki and Tierney. Always fun talking about quarterbacks and where they might wind up. By the way, he says if he plays, he's going to play at least two more years. So it's not a one-year, you know, gap or a bridge if you want him. First up, though, Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done. This week it is Jamal Murray. The Nuggets have won four straight, and their point guard has been the catalyst in the middle of it all, pumping in 28 points a game on 59% shooting and almost 50 from downtown. So he's been terrific. This after he missed the previous 10 games. Remember, he was hurt for a while. And the Nuggets sit three games behind the Lakers. Porter still nicked up as well after showing some nice signs. So, you know, this Nuggets team is one that nobody's going to face. They sit three games behind the Lakers for the top spot in the West. They don't garner the national respect that they should for whatever reason, maybe because they don't have a LeBron or that type of player on the team, but the Nuggets are good. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Granger does best. They've been doing it for over 90 years. Visit Granger.com for whatever you need. Whenever you need it, Granger for the ones who get it done. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Next segment, top of the hour. All these wacky, radical, nutty, but interesting.
Yeah.
Possible changes for baseball.
Just trying to get my head around it. Still,
there's a lot to a lot to factor in, a lot to incorporate, which we certainly will cover up next. So about 13 minutes from now, Tiki and I'll get into that. David Sampson in hour number two from CBS Sports HQ, former executive for the Marlins, inbounds, out of bounds as well. All right, so you know Phillip Rivers is done with the Bolts. We know that, and I think the saddest part aside from, and before we get into what's the logical next step, is he a Hall of Famer, all the things we'll talk about. You know what really is unfair to him? Think about the send-off that Eli got. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, the Giants didn't win a lot of games. He got benched for Daniel Jones, and rightfully so. Jones was a sixth overall pick, et cetera, et cetera. But he did it in front of 80,000 people. He got a real proper send-off against Miami, and he was able to, in a sport where you really can't do this, shape your own ending.
That's right.
Eli was largely able to do that.
That's right. And got a win.
And got the win, which kept that career record right where it needed to get, which was important. 500.
117.
Yep. Compare and contrast that to Phillip Rivers, who the displaced Chargers were basically booted to L.A. as the second team.
In a soccer stadium.
Thrown in a soccer stadium right, that seats 20-something thousand people, most of whom were cheering for the other team. Mm-hmm. Sad.
Yeah. Sad and it's not like they have a heir apparent behind him in Los Angeles right now.
Yeah, they're just saying you're not good enough.
Exactly.
That's true.
We're done with you. Yeah. We're moving on. Anthony Lynn, their head coach, just got a contract extension, so you know they're all dialed in to keeping things as they are. It's just they're saying, Phillip, you're not our guy anymore. It's kind of callous, and it's for an all-timer who spent 17 seasons with this one team, is likely on a Hall of Fame trajectory. He might have to wait a little bit, to be honest with you, because he never had the postseason success. And kind of like Eli, who did have those two Super Bowls and Super Bowl MVPs to mitigate the interception leads that he had. Phillip Rivers never had that. He never had that postseason success. But, yeah, he gets cast off now. He moves his family. What does he have, 8 kids, 9 kids, I think?
I think it's eight or nine.
Moving all the way back to Florida, so you knew that it was coming to an end out in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And now we sit here and speculate, well, where's Phillip Rivers going to play next year? And not dissimilar to my thoughts about Tom Brady, who was an all-timer. Really, Tom's an all-timer for the game, but certainly an all-timer for the New England Patriots. For him to conceivably go someplace else doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, because what are you getting? Right, you're getting an aged, former superstar who physically has deteriorated a little bit. You know, maybe he's going to bring some knowledge of the game and his experiences over those 16, 17 years that are going to be valuable to a new franchise. But the fan base isn't going to love him, right? I mean, they will
if he wins.
Well, they might accept him, and if he wins, and that's kind of circumstantial because the quarterback's not coming in and changing, you know, things so much that you're winning a Super Bowl, you know, and so. If I'm Phillip Rivers, I'd retire. Like he should retire. I don't think that there's a path for him to find someplace that's the perfect fit for a 39-year-old aged quarterback who's had great success. You're not going to find, you know what I mean? Whatever he's looking for, I don't think he's going to find it on the football field.
He might not. I would like to, and this is probably overly romanticizing what's an unlikely finish, final chapter for him. I would like to see him dropped into the middle of a fervent fan base with 80,000 people at home games, rabid, maybe a little northeast
edge.
I don't know. That's why I said it's probably overly romanticizing. It's probably not out there at this point. You know, we talk about bold. Are you a bolder, right? Mm-hmm. The description and the way to attribute, you know, direct, maybe greatness is a stretch, but certainly making your mark on the league, right? And, you know, Eli with the two championships, really the only thing he bolded was interceptions and maybe a couple of fourth quarter comebacks, which is obviously a good stat. You know, the one thing I think people forget about Phillip Rivers, and yes, my answer is he's an absolute Hall of Famer. I think he was drafted by a poor franchise. Mannings aren't dumb. And Archie said, let me get my boy Eli out of here.
Yep.
Not going to that, that franchise.
Going there.
Not going to that ownership. All the nonsense with the offset language. Seemingly the only team that really worries about that is the Chargers every single year, it seems, right?
Doesn't matter who the first-round pick is.
Doesn't matter who it is.
It's the same conversation.
It's ridiculous. Year. They've had protracted holdouts that hurt their team. The Chargers are not a good franchise. I mean, this is not exactly breaking news.
And by the way, they had some good talent. They had Antonio Gates, who's a Hall of Famer.
Danny Thomas, one of the best running backs of all time.
Sean Merriman, who's a stud defensive linebacker.
Junior Seau.
They had some like
Cromarty when he was young.
Really good players, man.
They were good. They had bad kickers. Their kickers betrayed them.
That's a good point.
Not just a couple of years ago when they started 0-4. Their kickers betrayed them in the playoffs.
And isn't it crazy how nuanced it is?
Kading, I think.
Kading was one.
Kading missed a couple of playoff kicks for
them. But they had a younger
one against my Jets.
Younger ones just recently that Baltimore also did. You're right. You get betrayed by the kicker.
You do.
You have a great team betrayed by the kicker.
And sometimes the coach as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes Phillip Rivers mm-hmm. a little bit. I think that the one thing people overlook, and I did look this up, 3 years in a row in his absolute physical prime, Phillip Rivers led the NFL in yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. And this is going back 10 years ago, and it was just about 9 yards a pop. So, you know, when you say, well, no championships, is he really great? The problem with the Chargers is that for 70% of his career, they basically said, go win 40-35, man.
Mm-hmm.
Go fling it 40 times. You're going to get sacked every time. You're going to get sacked because our O-line stinks. We know you're tough enough to get up because mm-hmm. that's who you are.
Yep.
And deliver the next throw despite somebody coming and looking to displace your cavity, your chest cavity. Phillip Rivers is a great player. Was a great player. I think he's finished.
I
think he's
well.
Done being a difference maker.
Yeah. And I don't see the path for him making it to another team and it fitting right. Whether that's on the field, whether that's fan acceptance,
yep.
whether that's, I don't know, or structurally fit of the offensive game. I just don't see it.
Let me give you a last word on this real fast because we're out of time. If you had to pick at least one team that you thought maybe met some of the criteria. I know there's not a perfect fit. I'm with you.
I mean, Tampa would be it, but I'm all in on Jameis Winston for a year in Tampa.
Okay.
So.
All right. So Rivers, the ultimate gamer, too.
Agreed.
Gamer. Coming up, MLB. Talk about overhauling. Too much? And the players are ripping it up. They are destroying it. Are they right? I can't wait to have this conversation. We'll do that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.